Hello everyone, I'm your moderator Michael Gerchovsky with Pulmonology Consultant. Today's guest is Jaspal Singh, a professor of medicine at Carolinas Medical Center and Atrium Health in Charlotte, North Carolina, where he practices and teaches in the Department of Medicine at Atrium Health Medical Group and the Levine Cancer Institute. He's board certified in pulmonary, critical care, and sleep medicine. Dr. Singh will be sharing his expertise about the evolving diagnostic and treatment modalities for lung cancer. We appreciate your agreeing to share your insight with listeners, Dr. Singh. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Michael, for having me today.
What are the newest ways that pulmonologists are getting involved upfront in the diagnosis and treatment of lung cancer, beginning with, say, screening?
Well, as you probably know, Michael, and many of your listeners already know, is that with the advent of lung cancer screening, this country has seen an explosion of early detection and early identification of abnormalities on a chest CT that need more definition and more care. We have been able to, in our practices, streamline some of these efforts, but there are going to be far more patients coming to pulmonologist practice now after having a screening lung cancer CT scan for possibly detecting lung cancer in at-risk patients. There are also going to be potentially patients that want to come to the pulmonologist first for that testing. So pulmonologists should be ready to rapidly assess the situation to be able to understand the algorithms for detection, for screening enrollment, and then what to do on the back end of the interpretation of these screening tests and any abnormalities that are detected. They have to understand how patients are part of that decision-making called shared decision-making as well, which is something that is mandated for appropriate lung cancer screening candidates. So from that perspective, all those things are very unique to what's changed a lot in lung cancer in the United States, at least, in terms of how we practice general pulmonary medicine. It's not something that we've normally done for a number of years.
Can you talk about some of the newer diagnostic tools in the toolbox that we have today?
The newer diagnostic tools for lung cancer and detection are changing a lot in the pulmonologist's office. It used to be that many pulmonologists would rely on surgeons, radiologists, and non-pulmonologists to diagnose and detect lung cancer, as well as stage it appropriately. However, now with the advent of newer bronchoscopic technologies, the bronchoscope is becoming a versatile tool and a number of adjunctive tools to facilitate diagnosis and acquisition of tissue. Not only can we diagnose and stage central tumors now with some of the tools we have with endobronchial ultrasound, for example, but also we can get to the periphery of the lung in a much more facile manner than ever. And these tools are evolving. The tools I use, for example, electromagnetic navigation bronchoscopy coupled with radial probe ultrasound, really allow a non-interventional trained pulmonologist to be quite facile at these procedures. These tools are amazing in terms of what they allow the bronchoscopist to be able to do to navigate to the periphery of the lung, not only biopsy tissue, but also obtain enough tissue for making major treatment decisions such as molecular testing. That's changed the field quite a bit. And now newer tools such as robotics and other tools are advancing this to the point where the pulmonologist in many communities, hospitals, is becoming the central person to diagnose and stage lung cancer.
So those are some of the newer diagnostic tools that are out there and available. You mentioned a little bit about treatment modalities, particularly robotics and other innovations. Tell us about some of those things that are on the way and what can we expect arriving in pulmonology practices very soon.
Well, first of all, the whole treatment paradigm of lung cancer is changing with minimally invasive procedures such as thoracic surgeries to less toxic radiotherapies and even less toxic chemotherapies and biological therapies. So the whole treatment paradigm is changing overall. Along those lines, treatments for lung cancer bronchoscopically are still being developed. They're not FDA approved at this time, but they're still looking at ways by which we can potentially, while we're in an area, can we help either treat or guide the treatment? For example, many pulmonologists I know also leave behind what are called fiducial markers so that the surgeon or the radiation oncologist can best direct therapy or find the lesion of interest with exceptional clarity so that, that way they minimize their intervention. So the pulmonologist may not necessarily treat the disorder, but can be a huge aspect of the treatment team's decision-making. So all this is sort of evolving. We're going to see in the future how things evolve even further. There are sort of other symptomatic relief that we oftentimes do, such as central airway obstructions or other tumors that are blocking airways. we can oftentimes get at these issues minimally invasively and even in outpatient procedures. So it's a pretty complex discussion, but this whole field is evolving dramatically.
Well, with that dramatic evolution, what advice would you give to your colleagues in clinical practice? What do they need to know right now? What's the practical take home?
I think if they want to be involved in the care of lung cancer patients, I think every pulmonologist, first of all, needs to understand the screening and how it impacts their daily practice and their patient populations. I think they need to get facile and quite good at understanding the impact of screening on their practice. That's a general rule for all. As far as those who want to be bronchoscopists or interventionalists or those involved for more advanced procedures, start attending courses, get a lot of practice on these procedures. A lot of us are looking at ways by which we can not only enhance our own individual skill sets, but can we share them and also enhance them as we kind of move forward, ideally in real time using virtual tools or chat rooms or other ways, because this stuff is evolving so quickly and you really need to be dialed in as this stuff moves along.
Well, thanks for speaking with us today and sharing your expert perspective with our pulmonology consultant listeners, Dr. Singh.
Thank you so much, Michael, for having me. And as always, it's been a pleasure working with you.